Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "The bumblebee cannot fly because of the shape and weight of its body in relationship to the total wing area." But the bumblebee doesn't know that and goes ahead and flies anyway. Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who, like a bumblebee, succeeds anyway. Today's playmaker has increased his annual growth by 46.5%. With us today is a CEO whose firm has been named one of the fastest growing companies in the nation. This great playmaker is Kyle Rhodes. Kyle is CEO and founder of FocusStaff. Now, Kyle stumbled into the healthcare staffing space as a naive college graduate. After a year of taking punches and getting back up, Kyle was able to build his book of business to thresholds the organization hadn't yet seen. After selling healthcare for 5 years, his company was sold to a publicly traded firm. Kyle then took the leap and started FocusStaff. Though he began his business during the Great Recession, Kyle was able to get the company off the ground and flying. Now, FocusStaff has seen exceptional growth with an annual year-over-year increase of 46.5%. And as I mentioned, staffing industry analysts has named them one of the fastest-growing companies in the nation. Well, Kyle, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Steve.
Now, I mentioned you stumbled in the healthcare staffing space. How did you stumble into this business?
Yeah, I mean, stumble is the word. It wasn't purposeful. 2002, graduate of college, and preceding that, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, like a lot of people in college, and having no idea, and probably a lack of mentorship. But I do remember a pivotal moment. I remember a guest speaker came into a class I took, professional selling, and I didn't learn much about anything in selling in the class, but we had a guest speaker come in, and he was a salesperson. And I think it was pretty profound, his message, in that he had tremendous job security. He made a good amount of money, but his job security is because he had a book of business, and his clientele were so loyal to him that his company couldn't really rid themselves of him if they wanted to. And in a lot of professions, you're at the mercy of the company and what they're doing. So,
now, was this the healthcare industry?
No, this is actually an insurance, believe it or not, Northwestern Mutual. So selling life insurance and products like that. But this guy was one of the few to be very successful in it, and had a huge book of business and dictated his. You know, he was the architect of his career then.
Now, at the time you were studying marketing.
Studying marketing, right. I knew I wanted to go into business. At that point, you know, with that experience and a couple others, I decided I wanted to go into sales. So new grad, I'm, you know, out beating the pavement, trying to find a job. This is probably before LinkedIn and a lot of the fancy sites that are available now. So it was really beating the pavement, making phone calls, networking.
So you were looking for something in sales.
In sales. Yeah. With, you know, bills and no income. I was doing some personal training at the time. But decided, you know, I wanted to go into sales, and a friend of a friend was in the healthcare staffing space, and I knew nothing of it. But they offered a base salary, and they offered me a job, and I said, "Let's go for it. Let's give it a whirl."
And the rest is history, based on
the rest.
What you've done.
The rest is history. About 14 years of it at this point. Yeah.
You started FocusStaff 2008.
Late 2008. Yeah. Officially incorporated early 2009, but yeah, late 2008 is when I was in my living room. Figuring out how to incorporate, figuring out how to start a company, yeah.
So you waded through the Great Recession. As a matter of fact, because you did that, that's probably the worst economy you could have started a business in.
Sure.
And it probably got better from there, is that correct?
A little bit, yeah. You know, healthcare, we are insulated from the general economy for a good amount, but yes, we certainly were hamstrung. Financing at the time was very difficult. In staffing, the biggest impediment to getting going is cash flow. You're hiring people, putting them out to work, paying them weekly, but of course you don't get paid weekly. So cash flow was the biggest thing, and getting financing from banks at that time was near impossible.
Like you said, the financial part of it was the most difficult.
Yeah.
But you apparently waded through that.
Yeah.
And turned the company around.
Yeah, I had to essentially borrow money from people who borrowed money. So at a very high interest rate. But yeah, so I didn't make a tremendous amount in the beginnings, but yeah, we got it afloat.
Focus Staff is a unique company. You're focusing on the healthcare staffing business.
Sure.
What makes Focus Staff different?
Well, it's cliche, and I can't stray from that. It's probably on our website too, but the people. I mean, and that's who we have here corporately, and that's who we hire externally, the people that are the healthcare professionals that are working out in the field and how we engage with them. So this is a war for talent. This is a war for talent and who I hire internally, and therefore, how they treat people out in the field. And our end product is who shows up at the hospital and administers the healthcare. And these are actual people scanning you, doing diagnostics on your body, a nurse at your bed, a nurse at your mother and father's bed. These are actual people out there. So it's hiring the right people internally to therefore get the right people externally working for us.
Yeah. It's 100% people. Again, it's your people that are hiring people to go work in an industry where they work with people.
Sure.
What do you look for when you hire somebody? Because you said it's all about the people. Mm-hmm. So your focus is on getting the right kind of person. Who is that person?
Sure. Naturally energetic, empathetic. I always think about flight attendants. Do they vary from Delta, from Southwest, and American Airlines and Southwest? There's just a natural enthusiasm in these people probably at Southwest Airlines. Now, obviously, it's the company's responsibility to engage them, to make sure that they don't run dry if they started with it, but naturally they have to have that coursing through their veins, that energy.
Well, you're really talking about attitude.
Right, attitude.
And that's something
sure.
You can't teach them. That's
no.
Something you can't develop. So once you find the people with the right attitude, can you train them to do that job?
While it's not rocket science, there's a lot in the nuance. And so, yeah, we do our best, but that's what we focus on every day.
So are you looking for somebody with the background in recruiting prior to them starting?
No, not at all. We have had success with people in recruiting in other fields. But I remember Jimmy Johnson said, I think he said, Jimmy Johnson, the football coach, said, give me an athlete and I'll turn him into a football player. Don't give me a football player. So give me the raw talent.
Which means you have developed the people you want to do the things you want to do the way you want them to do it.
Sure, yeah.
Well, you have something on your website under We Believe, and there are five of them there. Let me ask you about the first one first, which is customer service is key. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
In a service-based industry, this isn't Apple. We don't have an iPhone. This isn't In-N-Out. We don't have a burger. There isn't something tangible necessarily. So in service industry, obviously customer service is paramount. So we have to beat our competition. We have to retain talent. Again, it's a war for talent. We have to retain that talent. And they have to be wowed at every touch point and every interaction with us.
Well, you hit the nail on the head when you say wowed.
Wowed.
Once that happens, they do stay with you. You have a number of different types of jobs you recruit for.
Mm-hmm.
Technicians, therapists, recruiters. What is your main focus as a firm? Who do you look for and what type of people do you place?
Yeah, so we call ourselves travel, allied health, and nursing. So travel, what that means is essentially we are we're hiring somebody and logistically transporting them from one area of the country to where they're ultimately going to work.
So this person might be living in New York and there might be a job in San Diego.
Correct. Yeah. And these are romantic or great places you're mentioning, but sometimes it's Omaha to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. But yeah. They're going from one place to fill a void in another place.
Well, my guess also is this person you're recruiting is looking for something, and they realize they may have to travel to find it. Couldn't be in their hometown.
No doubt, yeah. And there is a big financial reward to this mode of work for them, but there's also all the intrinsic. They're getting to see the country while they're doing so. So that's a big draw for them as well, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the potential of your business.
Yeah.
baby boomers are getting well into their 60s and now in their 70s. I've worked with a number of firms that are in the senior living industry, and that's becoming a lot bigger. So healthcare must be booming. So is this the right time to be in your industry?
No doubt. No doubt. Life expectancy, continuity of care, all these things. So you're talking about the largest population to start retiring and starting to need healthcare. And their healthcare needs are ever expanding, and they're living well beyond prior generations' years. So yeah, no doubt. This is the sweet spot, right? Yeah.
Are most of the people you recruit working in an institution like a hospital, or are they working with their patients in home?
In a hospital, predominantly. And predominantly that's what we staff is hospitals. And those range from, you know, community hospital in a small town to teaching hospitals, you know, Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, the whole spectrum of hospitals, yeah.
You mentioned customer service back to that and wowing a customer. Mm-hmm. You also have a we don't stop until the job is done right, which is a wow. Mm-hmm. Flexibility is crucial. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
I never want to say, I'm sorry, that's our policy. I'm sorry, that's our policy, period, is an end. We'll do what we have to do to get it done. And we have to, and especially in such a dynamic service. We're literally transporting humans to a different area to go work at a hospital. We cannot just stop at any point. So when it's done, it's done when it's done.
So apparently you have some logistics you have to work through.
No doubt.
Do you have people that work specifically on those logistics of getting a person from point A to point B?
Yeah, it's definitely an all-hands-on-deck structure we have here and business model. And we also have a single point of contact. So that recruiter is handling all those logistics as well, because we don't want them lost. We don't want them to talk to five different people and things to get lost in the shuffle. But yeah, we all collectively assist in that, in the logistics.
So if I'm a recruiter here, once I find that person, they are hired by the hospital.
Sure.
I'm working with them, getting them to that hospital and getting them started all the way through.
Sure.
So your recruiters have a lot of things they have to do
to
make sure that job is done correctly.
Very dynamic role. Comprehensive, dynamic, consuming, yes, but fun. Yeah.
It sounds like they're looking for the prospects, they're working with them, they're getting them hired, and they stay with them until they get there.
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and then management of relationship. And I failed to mention that we're sending them on contracts, which are three months in duration. So hopefully 3 months later they continue to work there, but we may be looking to send them to, you know, Florida or Alaska thereafter. So it's a juggling act.
So you have two clients. You have the person looking for the job, and you have the institution where they're being set into.
We are an intermediary. We are a broker. The hospital pays the bills, but the talent brings in the revenue. They have billable hours. So yeah, we're constantly. And sometimes these are conflicting parties, and we are in between the two, but yeah.
So you're always looking for people looking for a job in that industry.
You got it.
You're also looking for those institutions. What's the typical type of location that you want? Is it, as you said, hospital, or are there other types of institutions that you place?
Yeah, you know, I still do the training here. So when I hire somebody, I still, you know, bring them into this boardroom that we're sitting in here, and I train them. And one of my first things to tell them is we staff any institution or facility that administers healthcare. So we do not limit ourselves to hospitals alone. So we're talking about home health, school systems, prisons, you name it. Any institution, entity, or event which requires supplemental healthcare is a potential client of ours.
That's a large market.
Large market, huge.
Well, the last thing you had of the five keys that you believe is time for change. Mm-hmm. Does that mean your business is different? Focus staff is different than the competition?
It's still a very fragmented market, but you do have large players that, you know, if we talk about policy or their customer service having an end, they certainly do. They have their limitations, but we do whatever it takes to facilitate, you know, an experience for our healthcare professionals, whereas they may have a period. They may have an ending point.
I mentioned something at the beginning where you've had an increase of 46.5%.
Sure.
You've also mentioned a couple of things. You've mentioned it's all about the people.
Uh-huh.
You've also said that you do the training. I may have answered that in those statements to you, but what has caused you to have that increase of almost 50%?
We're in a business model of retention. So year over year, if we're doing a good job, we're keeping our talent. So there's just a snowballing effect to that. Now we're hiring new recruiters, bringing in new talent, and their talent is matching up with our existing, you know, account managers' accounts. So there's just a natural synergy always occurring in the growth of our company. But it's a constant evaluation of people, processes, and technology here. Okay. You know, when people come to work for me, I tell them, you're going to work for a boss who's, I wake up thinking about how to do it better and differently. We're never stagnant. We're constantly evaluating how to improve.
Well, let's take that statement and go a little further.
Yeah.
You've been in business just under 10 years
yeah.
as focus staff. Where do you go from here?
Scale. So that's the big word, and that's the, so everything we look at, I think we used to look at things much more on a year over year, maybe quarter over quarter, but now we're looking at, you know, is every hire we make, is every piece of technology that we implement, is every managerial promotion we make going to facilitate the growth that we need for large things? And so that's where we are, scale.
How much larger could you get? How much larger do you see yourself getting?
Exponentially larger. And so we could measure that in terms of either revenue or employees on staff, but or corporate employees. But I'm the type of personality, I wake up trying to improve. I love the competition of this. I love the growth. I don't like stagnation or maintenance. So, God, I don't know. The sky's the limit. I would never stop, I don't think.
Do your recruiters do their own prospecting? Or do you have somebody working with them to find the recruits and the institutions?
When you look at staffing, you know, you think it's very different from other industries. But, you know, our jobs are a product. And we're trying to push our product out to the marketplace. So we're kind of, if we look at it that way, we could be shoes or dresses or bathing suits or anything. We're trying to push this out to a relevant audience like other traditional products do. And so we're more like e-commerce. So our goal is that, you know, as technology changes, and I guess staffing back in the 80s used to have a Rolodex and you would call your people and go through the yellow pages or the blue book of hospitals. Whereas now we need talent to come to us, and they're going to come to us because they see our product, our jobs online, marketed to them, and it's going to be relevant to them and interesting to them, and then they come to us. So that's our constant, that's our big push right now.
I'm going to ask a question because you mentioned marketing, and I believe I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. Is most of your marketing done via the customer care you take with your clients? In other words, do you get more business from them, and do they refer you to others?
Yes, but we do get, you know, we get new organic and sought after marketing business, you know, I would say equally.
You really have two pieces to your developing your business. You were a salesperson,
mm-hmm.
then you developed your business.
Mm-hmm.
What was the key element that you got in school that helped you in becoming a business person?
Mm-hmm. In school, you know, there's only so much theory that can be applicable in the real world, okay? And it expands your brain, your neural pathways, you start to, you know, whatever. But, you know, once you near your graduation, you start taking capstone classes and you're actually making fictitious businesses. So then the rubber starts to meet the road at that point, potentially. You start to learn what is actually taking place. How would this actually get off the ground? How could I start a company? You can take I think we used to take broken companies and try to fix them. We used to evaluate financials and marketing and things like that. So at that point, that's when it starts to click and make sense and be applicable for the real world.
Well, you realize after hearing that speaker that you mentioned at the beginning of the show that you knew that sales is what you wanted to get into.
Sure.
What point did you realize you need to be in business for yourself?
I don't know in my first few years out of school that was my goal. I think I was very much in line with, you know, traditional employment and climbing a corporate ladder or growing my sales and whatnot. I think as that company was preparing themselves to sell, they were doing things that maybe weren't employee-centric. And so I saw the writing on the wall. So at that point, I considered, hey, I can go work for the competition. I can go work in a different arena. And I just kind of had this epiphany and this clarity that eventually I can go work for somebody else, but it's going to look like this at some point again. at this point, you know, at that point I was 28, and I had no, you know, I didn't have a family. I do now, so I could put my chips on the table and I could take a risk. And I had a mentor who was now a business partner with me. He was my boss, and he just said, you know, the worst thing that you can do is foreclose on your condo. And I thought that was pretty bad. That would be pretty bad if I foreclosed on my condo. But
looking
actually,
back, wasn't that bad?
Looking back, that is, if that's the worst case scenario, that's not a big deal. It was a great time to take a risk.
The name Focusstaff,
yeah,
is a great name for this this company. Did that come to you, or is it something you worked on to come up with the right name?
Well, focus was always the word I wanted. And it's kind of a long story, but it was kind of happenstance that we ended with the staff. It was my second or third pick, and we had some issues with domains and Secretary of State. So I had to actually, this was the concession, is to go to Focus Staff. It was supposed to be Focus Med, but oh well, here we are, Focus Staff.
If nothing else, Focus Staff can be a little broader than Focus Med.
You got it. Right.
But I just mentioned Focus Staff. Tell everybody how they get a hold of you if they are looking for people or they are looking for a job.
Yeah, so if you're a healthcare institution that needs help, certainly a good stop is our website. You'll find info at focus-staff.com would be a good place to start. And you'll find all the necessary links on the URL on the website, focus-staff.com. Same would apply for job seekers. And the job seekers are going to have, it's a little bit, the website's a little more geared towards them. You're going to actually see all our available jobs on there as well.
Well, Kyle, this has been a great show. Thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show. You definitely are a playmaker.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlayMakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlayMakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.